So here in Isaiah 40, chapter 28 to 31, God talks about one of the hardest things of the Christian life. And you will all agree with me, and that is that four-letter word, wait. We're very impatient, aren't we? Verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So today, they that wait upon the Lord, let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for the privilege of meeting here today in the name of Jesus Christ around your precious word, and pray the Holy Spirit would have free course in every heart. Lord, that we would be listening, we would be responsive, and you would meet needs today, whatever that might be. And I pray, Lord, that we would leave changed, thankful that we were in the house of the Lord, and glorifying our wonderful Savior for how good he is to us. Meet with us now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God encouraging us here in verse 28 that God is God. Say, what's that mean? Well, knowing who he is should encourage us. Amen. Knowing that the one who is everlasting, the one who is our creator, the one who doesn't faint, the one who is never weary, is the one that is now our Father, is the one that has given us eternal life, and the one that we're going to spend forever with in heaven. That should encourage us, because the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. Amen. If you're one of God's children, he is on your side, and he is the everlasting God. He is Jehovah. He is the creator, and he doesn't faint, and he's not weary. Knowing this should help us through the trials we're going to face and help us to learn to wait on him, knowing that he always does things in his timing, not our timing. If it was our timing, it would always be now, wouldn't it? It would always be instantaneous. We're an instantaneous generation now, aren't we? We've got to have everything right now, but not with God. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, consider him. We need to constantly consider who we serve, who has saved us, who has adopted us into his family. Consider him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider him in Hebrews 12, 3. Notice Micah 7, 7 quickly if you would. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Micah. Micah chapter 7 and verse 7. Therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. I will wait. Aren't you thankful God never gets tired? That's what it says in verse 28. He doesn't faint. He never gets weary. And I've often talked to people and they're like, how is it that you believe that God knows everything? There's like 8 billion people on the earth. How could God keep track of all of them? And I'm thankful that we're where we are in man's history, because I just say, do you realize that computers that man makes can now make billions of decisions per second? And we made the computers and God made us. So there you go. God is God. God knows everything. God never gets tired. God never faints, it says. And it says in verse 28, there's no searching of his understanding. Not until we get to heaven will we fully comprehend the God of the Bible. Notice Psalm 147, verse 5, talking about God's understanding. Psalm 147, verse 5. Look what the Bible says. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. That's a good word, isn't it? Infinite. God's understanding is infinite. There is no searching of it. Romans 11:33, oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. We'll never comprehend it until we get our new bodies and we're with him. God knows and understands everything, and he understands what we're going through. He even chose to become a man and come down to earth and face every temptation that we could face so that he can even relate. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So yes, he understands. And no, he's not making you wait because he's mean or cruel. He's making you wait because he wants us to trust him, and he wants us to learn that he always does what is best from his point of view, not from our point of view. So back to our passage, verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. God gave us power. How much? Well, the God that we just read about actually moved in the day we got saved. That's a lot of power, isn't it? You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, the Bible says in Acts 1:8. God gives us power. Look at Psalm 27, verse 13, if you would. We need to learn when we are tempted to faint, that's the time when God is going to step in and give you the power to not faint. Hallelujah. Because that's the God that we serve. Psalm 27, 13, David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Power to the faint. Do you think Job was tempted to faint? Give up? Quit? If you've ever read the book of Job and see what he went through. And yet in the midst of all of that, in Job 19, he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that I know that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. Because I know who my God is. And I know I'm going to see him someday. He says in verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. When we are young, both physically and spiritually, let's be honest, we think we can do anything. And then we get older and realize we were wrong. But we're going to talk about this Wednesday night, actually. It says, have no confidence in the flesh. But when we're young, we think we can do anything. Even when we're a baby Christian, we often think, I can do this, I can do this. And then we've been saved a while, we realize, you know, I can't do anything without God. And didn't Jesus say something like that in John chapter 15? Without me, you can do nothing. But they that wait, verse 31, that's our main passage today. They that wait upon the Lord. We soon learn, as we've been saved a while, that our strength does not come from ourselves. Our strength does not come from within our own, whatever you want to call it. Our strength comes from God. The strength to serve God, the strength to carry on in the midst of trials, the strength to do right and obey God's commandments, it all comes from God. But we need to learn to wait. To wait. Look at Psalm 40, verse 1. Let me give you a little bit about the waiting this morning. Waiting. Look what it says, Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently. Ouch. He had to put that word in there, didn't he? So I meet people a lot. Oh, I'm waiting, all right, I'm waiting. But they're not waiting very patiently. And you know, long-suffering is one of the fruits of the Spirit. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. We need to learn to wait patiently. Because we don't know how long he wants us to wait. But he does want us to wait. Because he's going to do what he believes is best for us. And by the way, it is what's best for us. Look at another one, Psalm 62. in verse 5, Psalm 62, verse 5. Look what it says. My soul, wait thou, look at this next word, only upon God. For my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Not only do we need to learn to wait patiently, we need to learn to wait only on Him. Not Him and someone else, not Him and something else, Him only. And while we're waiting, look at Psalm 130. God even tells us where to wait. And that is in this book, my friend. That's the place to wait. Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. In His word do I hope. The place to wait is in the word of God. Wait patiently, wait only on Him, and wait in His word. You don't know what God has planned. But when it's all done, you'll be thankful. 2 Corinthians 4. The inward man is renewed day by day, yet for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. And while you're waiting, Luke 18, verse 1. Turn there if you would. One of the hardest things, as I said earlier, and one of the most important things in the Christian life is to learn to wait on God. God is not a vending machine. You've heard me say this. God is God. We aren't to order Him around. We aren't to tell Him how things are to go. We're to ask and we're to wait. And He will do what He believes is best. Luke 18, verse 1. And He spake a parable unto them, that to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He says one of the best solutions there to not fainting is to what? Pray. So we need to wait patiently. We need to wait only on Him. We need to wait in His word. And of course, we need to wait in prayer. Praying. God, do what you believe is best. I'm waiting on you. And then verse 31 of our passage, look what He promises. To those that are willing to wait, to those that are willing to say, it's yours, Lord, I'm trusting you, you know what's best, I'm not going to try to rush this, I'm not going to try to take things into my own hands. Because when we do, trust me, we always mess it up. He gave us some Old Testament stories to teach us this. Anybody ever heard of Abraham and Sarah? Good, Jan. I'm pleased. We all have, haven't we? And God came to Abraham one day and says, I'm going to give you a promise, Abraham. I'm going to give you a child in your old age. I know you're both too old to have children. That's all right. I'm God. I can work miracles. You're going to have a child in your old age. More than 10 years later, it didn't happen. They got tired of waiting. He said, well, obviously, God told us this is going to happen, but obviously He wants us to take it in our own hands and work it out. And so they did. We've all heard of Ishmael, haven't we? And they're still fighting thousands of years later. We read about it in the news every day. Wow. All because they chose not to wait. They said, well, we'll take care of this, God. And then after comes the promised child that He promised, Isaac. In the line of Jesus Christ, our Savior, in the flesh. But Ishmael, that wasn't God's original plan. They chose not to wait. But if we will wait, look what He says, verse 31, they shall renew their strength. Where's that strength come from? It comes from God, amen? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen? God is a strengthening God. We looked at it already, but look at Psalm 27:14 again. Good memory verse, by the way, in case you were wondering. Wanted to add one to your list. Wait on the Lord. That's good advice. Be of good courage, and he shall, what? Strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He shall strengthen thine heart. If we're willing to wait and trust, God will give us the strength to get through whatever it is that we're going through. Look at Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 19. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, however you want to say it. One of those books that gets pronounced many different ways. But look at the very end of it. Verse 19. The Lord God is my strength. Isn't that beautiful? And he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. He says, my God is my strength. And that is one of the things he wants us to learn while we're waiting, isn't it? That he is the one with infinite strength. He is the one who will do what is best from his perspective. We have to trust, don't we? Waiting and trusting are pretty much the same thing. And he's the one, if we are willing to wait, who will strengthen, who will renew our strength. Hebrews 12, if you would quickly turn there. God here in first three verses of Hebrews 12 likens the Christian life to a long-distance running race. Of course, Rotorua sponsors one of those every year in May. Some people are brave enough to try it. I did once. Who knows? Maybe I'll do it again before I'm 65. Got to beat Brent. Hebrews 12, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. God is a God that gives strength to those that are willing to wait. He says, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. That'd be a good verse to quote while you're running the marathon, wouldn't it? Run and not be weary. My friend, we are running in a race. We just read about it here in Hebrews 12. What are we supposed to do? Lay aside the weights. Lay aside the sin that besets us. And keep running. And what's unique about the Christian run is we don't even know when the finish line is. We know where it is. It's heaven. But we don't know when. So it could be tomorrow. It could be in 10 or 100 years. We just don't know. But what does God say? Keep running. Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means would I preach to others. I myself should be a castaway. He says, I'm just going to keep running and waiting. But if I will be willing to wait, if I'll be willing to trust, he says that when I'm running, I won't be weary. And when I'm walking, I'm not going to faint and give up. Why? Because I'm waiting on the Lord. Because I'm trusting God. The Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not, in Galatians 6:9. So isn't this a beautiful promise? I know a lot of Christians know this verse already, but the context is verse 28. That God doesn't faint. God doesn't get tired. That God knows everything. There's no searching of his understanding. Knowing these things about the God that we serve and about the God that has adopted us into his family helps us to learn to wait on him. And if we're willing to wait, he promises to renew our strength. He promises that we will not get weary while we're running. We will not faint while we're walking. That's his promise to those that wait. They that wait upon the Lord. He says in 1 Corinthians 4:16, for the which cause we faint not. But though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Don't faint. Don't quit. Don't stop running. But wait. God knows what's best. Wait on the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, how we love you. How we thank you that you are who you are. That you loved us enough to die and rise again for us. That you've saved us, given us everything. And Lord, I pray now that as we trusted you in salvation, we would learn to trust you all the time. And Lord, to wait on you to do what you want to do in our lives when you want to do it. To not faint, to not quit, but to wait and trust. And let you strengthen us and help us get to the finish line. I pray, Lord, this would be one of our main goals, is that we would never quit, but that we would keep waiting on our God. Lord, I didn't preach to them, but there are some in this service, I'm sure, that are not sure they're born again. They may believe you're real. They may believe your word is true, but they've not come to that point where they've listened and heard and trusted and believed the gospel and asked Jesus Christ to be their own personal Savior. And I pray that they would come to Christ and get that settled for eternity. Have your will and way in our hearts. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.